Couldn't hear you for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a
that's a
huge.
huge.
Yeah, there's definitely an echo. I think it might be coming through yours, Peter, but there we go. Anyway, well, let's make a start and go from there.
Well, here, I'll work with an earbud this morning. Maybe that'll help. 'Cause my camera is the mic that I'm using, and I think it picks up my computer speakers. Well, now I can't hear you, Mike.
Okay, yeah, go
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Well, Susan, did you have a question this morning?
No, excuse me. No, I'm fine. Just here to observe.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's
Well,
Joe.
there's Joe.
Morning.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm late. I had trouble getting into my hotel room to
Okay.
the internet. So thought I was ready.
Right. Okay, let's make a start. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I had a question about, as we're stepping into government and everything, I have this sense in my spirit that God will begin having us look at things that are or bring to our attention, I should say. That'd probably be a better way of saying it. Things that are going on, both locally and then to do with our own ecclesia. But then as things progress, and as we grow in the spirit and everything, even things more regionally and nationally and even globally, how do you know, and this is my question, how do you know when God is beginning to, kind of like tap you on the shoulder that, hey, you need to start watching for this kind of stuff, or this is something I want you to be, possibly legislating in or decreeing in or working on. I mean, I don't want to be putting us or, trying to go somewhere we're not supposed to go to too quickly, like because of our inexperience or naivety. But yet I know that is something God's gonna be calling us to, especially as we, have these different arcs joining from different ecclesias and, things like that. So what, do you have something on that, Mike?
Well, I think it's basically the same answer in everything. You have to operate with a mandate. So if God starts to show you something or give you a mandate to do something, then you pursue it. If you can ask him, do we have a mandate for this type of thing, and see what he says. I think in the key is obviously making sure you are faithful and effective in what you're doing in the sphere that you know that you have authority in, whether that's in your own life or your own the ecclesia that you're part of. If you're part of a bench of any description, then you know that there will be authority to that blueprint that is carried with that bench. But obviously, if within, our blueprint carries a mandate to equip people, on a wider sphere, so we know we've already got a mandate to engage in national and international things. But I personally don't get involved in a lot of those things because we got other people who do it. I'm not going to get involved in health issues when we've got a health mountain, because they deal with the health stuff. And if God gave them a mandate to start to do with national or international health issues, that would be for them. If as soon as they begin to produce legislation, then that legislation is brought back to us as a 12. And then we validate and agree that legislation, and we then release it to all the other mountains to make sure all the other mountains are aware of the legislation that's being produced, that they can actually take that and apply it for the areas that they need to in their own mountain. So we have a sort of a feedback mechanism where we receive the information. We have a two-weekly meeting with our 12, and we get feedback from all the mountains, and they share anything like that. And some things we then may well step in together to administrate together if we felt it, you know, important enough. So, you know, we're always looking for, you know, what is God saying, what is God wanting us to do. Once you know that you have the authority to legislate, then you need to then use that authority to do exactly that. And as long as you're hearing God and checking it out with Him, then, you know, you don't need to be concerned, because if He's got any problems, He'll tell you. You know, and particularly if you're saying, okay, you know, let's say someone feels that there's this national issue that God is revealing, then you go and you get a strategy for that. Ask God, you know, what is it we're supposed to do? You know, that's what we've done. You know, we would go and find a strategy for every situation. What are we supposed to do with this? And it may be, you may get just observe, or actually, no, you need to begin to take responsibility for this, because I'm calling you to make some declarations that will change or bring things into alignment. In a sense, the governmental aspect has to come out of the relational, so we don't just do things by rote, we do things out of the relationship, and as long as we keep that relationship channel open, then God is going to give us the direction we need. So I wouldn't be too concerned, but depending, you know, if you're called to legislate in that international way, as part of your blueprint, whether individually or corporately, then it will grow. You know, God is unlikely to give you, you know, an intergalactic mission if you've not fulfilled a mission locally. You know, it grows with faithfulness and maturity. But it's always a stretch, you know, because God is never going to just say, hey, this is easy, do this. It's always going to be a stretch, because that means that we're always dependent on Him, continually to seek Him. And, you know, I think the safeguards are there in place. If we're always willing to submit something to Him and get His direction on each thing we do, then we don't have to be concerned about overstepping the mark, because He'll tell us. You know, or put boundaries and limits on what we can do within that sphere. You know, I mean, what I was doing 12 months ago or 2 years ago, although similar in form, was less, carried less authority than it does now. Because I've matured and grown, and God trusts me with more things now than He did then. Although I could see some things then, you know, what I was doing with them, you know, He limited the effect that it was having, because it could have had a damaging effect if I was let loose. So, you know, I learned, and he oversaw that for me anyway.
Well, real quick, Mike, Andra's trying to join in, and for some reason, I guess you used her other account rather than her Freedom Arc account or something. So she was wondering if you could call her Freedom Arc account.
I can try.
Yeah, she's not getting the call on her other account. For some reason, she can't get it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, as that, I mean, like you got called to do this Galactic Council thing. How did you know that was, well, obviously it was a mandate, but what was there something leading up to that, that you knew that God was calling you to that higher level of something?
I mean, as it's developed in my own personal life, you know, it's come through the encounters I've had. You know, initially I was given, you know, an encounter, which was, hey, I'm on a throne. I've been given a scepter and a crown and a mantle, and I learned to administrate that. And then I had another encounter where I was given an orb, you know, that went with that, which indicated another level of authority, and it was another investiture. You know, it's like our throne is mobile, so it can go on mountains in various spheres, so even though it's still us, we can operate in different levels. And some of the encounters for me were symbolic of that. You know, then I was given a seal, which carried Chancellor authority, and in an encounter, and then I took it to Wisdom and asked her to help me understand what I was supposed to do with it. You know, and then the encounter opened, and then I was able to go and access Satan's trophy room and, you know, use the staff and the seal together to give entrance. Now, those were all encounter-based experiences which opened up those realms that indicated that I was being given different levels of authority. You know, then I got taken to the Chancellor's houses, and working through those 12 Chancellor's houses, initially they were just encounters that I'm, well, where am I, what is this place, finding out where it was, and then, okay, this, what are these houses, and then I got a direct mandate, visit each of the houses in order and learn. You know, so when I finished going through all the houses in order, I then had an understanding of how the houses would be aligned, and then that alignment helped me understand how to put together a judicial case. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without following the process through. Mm-hmm. But once I understood that, then I understood that a case had to be made on the basis of the precepts, statutes, and laws of God, and then the ordinances of God would be opened, which would give a level of authority to shift things and move things and direct things that wouldn't be in place without the three in place to help me do that. And eventually, having worked it all through, to the level that I have, you know, and that's not a huge level, because I still don't understand everything, and I haven't got words for everything, even though I've had the experiences. But at that level was enough to bring alignment with those three houses, which mm-hmm. opened the fourth. Then God said, I want you to do this case. Mm-hmm. You know, now, he spoke to me 2 years ago about engaging the Galactic Council, 3 years ago, in fact. And that led me into this sort of dark night of the soul, in the darkness and in the dark cloud, and challenging my whole perception of my relationship with him. So there's been a long journey. It hasn't been something which has been, you know, simple. Hey, just come here and do this. You know, I look back, and you can always look back, and you can see, hey, these were the steps. Because I know God said to me, I want you to come to the Galactic Council in February 2013. And I wasn't ready to go. I just wasn't ready, and I didn't go. You know, so I wasn't going. So I wasn't ready. So it was like, you know, then he gave me another call to come in this year, 2 years later. So it took me 2 years to get ready. You know, and in those 2 years, I then, you know, engaged the Chancellor thing, and then engaged the houses. You know, so the invitation came, but I knew I wasn't ready. You know, and then, so I thought, well, actually, how do I get ready then? So then that's why I go to Wisdom and engage Wisdom and ask for, you know, the sort of process. Now, a lot of this is not always just a cognitive process that I go through. It's very much more my spirit just leading me and opening up the avenue for engagement, and I find myself going to that place, and then something happens that then spurs me on. And, you know, and I do reflect a fair bit on, okay, what was this about? You know, I had this encounter, you know, what was this about? Was this in line with this or this or this, and then I begin to meditate on it and find out, you know, what its purpose was in my journey, you know. So that's, you know, I think anyone who's will go straight into those things without being ready, I think, you know, needs to be careful. Because a lot of people have had experiences and their forerunner experiences, and they sort of help open up the realm to realize that there's more. But that doesn't mean just because you've had the experience that you're ready to operate in it. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times people say they feel that they're only there to observe, to get an understanding and gain that understanding, which is I think correct. You know, I mean, I had someone here on Sunday morning describe a place that they'd been in, and they were describing a place that I knew was one of the Chancellor's houses. But they didn't know what to do there, but they did see some things that were key, and, you know, and I sort of encouraged them, okay, this is where you've been, but now you need to go and engage wisdom some more, and you need to go and find out, okay, are you being called to administrate here? In what role? You know, ask the questions. You know, mm-hmm. if we're unsure about anything, ask. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's always a good principle. You know, yeah. ask. I mean, I ask a lot of questions because I want to know the answers.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was good.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I mean, all this stuff takes a lot of time. You know, it isn't instant. There's a lot to learn, you know. I mean, if you were to become think of the judicial system of your nation. You know, you're not going to be voted onto the Supreme Court without having done the bar exam, you know, are you? It's just not going to happen. So there's a journey of discovery and growth and maturity that we all have to go through. And really, if we're not willing to go through that journey, then, you know, I think we have to check the motives of our heart, because, you know, there's a cost to everything that God is looking for. Are we willing to pay the cost? So then he can then release more. And for those who aren't willing to pay the cost, who want it easier or want it through laying on our hands or want someone else to give it them, you know, it's the same thing, you know, doing running the beta course and all that stuff. Some people will just race through the material and come to the end and it's like, oh, I've listened to it all now, you know, and it's like, yeah, but how much of it are you living? You know, is this a lifestyle? Can you step into here? Can you do this? Can you engage with your angels? Can you do, well, no, well, then go back and do it all again, you know, because the point is not how quickly we can listen to everything, but how much we're actually living. And it takes time to develop it. You know, it took me 10 years to get from one point to the next. Now, you know, it doesn't take 10 years now because the revelation is there if you're willing to practice.
Right. Yeah.
But if you're not willing to practice, you're not going to get it. You know, unless you're very fortunate and you can just see. And I've had conversations with people who are great seers, and it doesn't always help them because they don't know what they're seeing. Because they're seers and they're not hearers. So they've not actually developed the ability to talk to God and get a conversation going. So they see amazing things and they share these amazing visions, and then you ask them, well, what are they about? Oh, I don't know. Well, what's the point then? You know, if you don't know what they are, therefore there's something not just about seeing. You have to have understanding and perception that gives you the revelation that you need, that doesn't just come from a vision. I mean, John wrote down his vision, and we call it the revelation. Well, how much trouble has that caused over the centuries about interpretation? Because he didn't interpret, he just wrote down what he saw. And then everyone's left to interpret it, which is not easy, is it? You know, so I'd much rather have the ability to hear as well as see and talk to God so that I can ask him, you know, which makes it much easier in the process. But that's, you know, everyone wants to see, but seeing isn't everything. You know, it's being able to engage in what you see with revelatory understanding, which is the important thing. And for that, you have to hear as well. And when both of them come together, then great, you're in a good standing point. But if you don't learn how to hear and just you're gifted to see, then you've missed part of the process, you know. And so it's being willing to work through the process so that you get all the things you need, so that then you can be able to live that way. So now, you know, if I'm engaged in heaven, my spirit's engaged there, you know, I don't necessarily need to have a visual encounter with it, because I've learned to tune in and understand what's going on and what I'm doing. Because I am perceiving. I have the perception which brings revelation, rather than the picture that doesn't always bring revelation. So that's, you know, my encouragement for people is don't take shortcuts. Because everyone wants to jump into getting the visions, and then doesn't know how to interact with the visions to get the perception and the revelation, then they're going to have visions without any purpose, you know. And God doesn't want us to be keeping asking other people to interpret our visions for us, you know, because we need to build a relationship with Him ourselves, you know, which is why I stop interpreting people's dreams and visions, because, you know, I'm not becoming a mediator for them. You know, I want to help people to go and engage to find out what their visions mean themselves. Well, that takes time and effort and willingness to learn, you know, practice, repeat over and over until you can do it better. And I think there is a danger that people don't want to put that effort in, and it won't bear the rewards. You know, whatever you sow into this, you'll reap back multiplied and blessed. And if you just want it on the back of what someone else has done, it's not going to be effective. Yeah. Fully accept of being forerunners and opening doors and opening up ways of engagement and those things, absolutely. But everyone has to develop their own pathway and their own relationship by walking that way themselves over and over again. Now I don't take as long as I took, you know, initially to do all the things I did, because now it's just me. You know, my spirit and soul are so much more integrated. I'm not consciously doing a lot of things. My spirit does it. You know, but that's taken time to get to that point, that I now find myself there. And I'm looking right at the moment of looking at the gateways and what I should teach on the gateways and how I should teach it. And it's like, wow, this has been a big journey, a long journey of, you know, how to cleanse it and how to work it. And now I realize that now I just live that way. How do I explain how I'm living in a way that other people can get? You know, well, the only way I can do it is explain the process that took me to this point. And I can't really remember where it sort of crossed over from, well, I was kept on practicing this stuff until I was doing it, and then all of a sudden I'm doing it, and it's just real, you know, it's just as it is. But that in itself is a journey, you know, and that journey has taken me 5 years. You know? As soon as I engaged in the gateways, you know, blasted them all open and dealt with them, you know, in that way, I've then pursued that continually, you know, exploring what this gateway does when it interacts with that gateway and how reverence works with our conscience and all that stuff. Well, now I don't even have to think about it all. It just works, you know. But in the journey, I had to learn, you know, how to draw from my revelation gate or my faith gate to engage healing or whatever it was at the time. You know, now everything just flows naturally because my spirit now has grown to such an extent that it encompasses the soul. You know, whereas initially it was going through the gates into the soul to engage it. Now every day my spirit goes through those gates and encompasses soul and body, so I don't have to do all the things I used to do. But if it wasn't open, it wouldn't be able to do that. You know, and if it hadn't grown stronger, bigger, you know, it's like blowing up a balloon. You know, if you have a balloon and you've not got that much breath, puff, when you try and blow it, it can be really difficult to expand initially because it's got a resistance in the rubber which doesn't want to expand. But when you keep blowing into it and you keep blowing into it, then even if you let the air out of it, the next time you blow into it, it's so much easier to go because it's already gone so far that then the memory within the fabric of the rubber is, hey, we're made to expand. So we can go that much bigger because it's there's memory there within it. And the same happens within us as we put that effort in and our spirit just it gets stronger and stronger and it gets bigger and bigger, it can encompass our soul, you know, rather than when it started. You know, when my spirit started, it couldn't get beyond its own gates, you know, because it never had. You know, that's how it, you know, I operated with the Holy Spirit mostly doing the stuff. You know, well, then to mature, that my spirit had to grow. And again, it's been a lot of effort making it expand. But now I just have to do it, and it stays there and does it. So, again, a journey of discovery and practice and engagement, you know. And I know you can't get muscles spiritually or physically without effort. No matter what anyone will try and do and tell you and market the marketing ploys that will show you the pictures of the great guys with the big guns, it actually doesn't work without effort, you know. And they're telling, you know, they're trying to sell you an illusion if you think you're going to do it without any effort, you know. Now, they trap people all the time. You know, a lot of people have got a lot of equipment stuffed in their loft or out in their garage because they bought it and it didn't work. So, yeah, anyway.
That was good, Mike. Thank you. Thank you.
Here we go. Anyone else got something?
Of course, I'm just thinking about all the equipment that's now hanging. I used to have clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it's funny. You know,
I'm interested in the gateways because I'll say, you know, as you're talking, you know, I'm kind of looking at the past year of my journey, and you know, it does seem like for me, I moved through the gateways at a pretty fast clip, and certainly, you know, it's easier to look back now and see what some of my motives were then. It's just, you know, 50 years old and want to make up for lost time. We've talked about this before. Yeah. Yeah. And everything I hear you saying, you know, Peter's question and your response ultimately sounds like to me it's just based on your relationship with the Lord. If you hear what he tells you to do, you just do it next. I mean, it's just not that complicated.
Yeah.
Provided that you can hear.
Yeah.
And I feel like even having worked through the gateways, I'm probably in line for some remedial training. No, seriously. Because I feel like I don't know if I'm a gifted seer, but I see, and I have for years, and what you just said, light bulb went off. It's like, you know, I don't think I understand to the same degree or hear to the same degree that I see.
Yeah.
And that's enlightening for me. And I sense that some of that could be that my gates still really aren't clear or open to the degree that they need to be. So I'm grateful to hear that you're kind of looking at that, you know, from an instructive standpoint. But because I suppose it's just going back and asking the Lord, you know, just to kind of go through the process again. Or
yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, within the base camp preparation, spirit building stuff,
right?
There was a lot in there about how to develop hearing, You know, hearing the voice of God by, you know, hearing him speak through the word when you meditate, but actually sitting down, I mean, very basic practical exercise, you know, sit in your office or sit where you are in your room, have a chair in front of you, and actually invite Jesus to come and sit in the chair, or the Father, or whoever you relate to.
Right.
And, you know, close your eyes and activate your imagination, and then talk to him and listen, rather than trying to get a visual picture of it in the sense of, well, I'm going to get a vision now. No, I just want a conversation of thoughts in my mind. So I want to be able to discern the thoughts of God coming into my mind when I ask him a question. You know, don't start with, you know, a question which is so beyond what where you are. Ask him simple things, you know, like, you know, is there something blocking my gateway that helps stops me hearing? You know, now that can become a circular question, you know, right. When you're asking to listen and you can't, you know, so don't start there, start back a bit. You know, how do you feel about me? You know, go for the more relational type of conversation and learn to listen. You know, how do you listen? Well, you get thoughts come into your mind. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know, it's like, you know, I did this using Psalm 23 mostly. I'm going to lie down in green pasture, but the shepherd is there, so I'm going to talk to the shepherd. So he's my shepherd. He's the Lord is my shepherd. So he's the Lord, and therefore I can engage with him. And he wants to restore my soul, because that's why he wants me to lie down and give him some time to restore my soul. So, hey, let's talk about my soul. You know, and just talk to him about, you know, what do you want to show me about my soul? You know, and wait for him to respond. And that's it's just continual practice about listening to the thoughts that come into your mind that aren't yours. You know, and that's the key. You know, so, and then I learned to journal those things, and I learned to journal them while I was listening. You know, so it doesn't distract me to have my tablet open and, you know, lecture notes open, and I'm writing down what God is saying to me. Because he suddenly says, son's like, okay, son, what about this? This is the, I mean, to quote something from this morning, you know, he said, son, there's a new season coming, and you need to administrate this new season, so I want you to do this, this, and this. Because I asked him, okay, where are we going? And then and he said, there's a new season coming. So I'm like, okay, fine. Now I have something to work with. So now I can go back and talk to him about, okay, well, what administration do you want me to do in this new season? When's the new season going to start? How much preparation do I need to make for this new season? You know, I'll just keep talking to him about very basic things, you know, and just keep writing down, for me, journaling what he says, and then I have something to work with. And I did the basic exercises, you know, which were visual mixed in with hearing, in the sense of, you know, walking on the beach and, hey, I'm talking to Jesus. And, you know, he's looking in my eyes and we're engaging. Just whichever way it works, whether you do it visually and you engage in the visual side as well, or you just choose to engage by faith that Jesus promises never to leave you or forsake you, so he's going to be around. Now, you can do that in a sense in this realm, as in, okay, I'm going to picture that. You know, he sat next to me in the car while we're driving around, and I'm going to talk to him as I'm driving. You know, or I'm going to engage with him in my own spirit, or we're going to go into the garden of my heart, or wherever. You know, and I think we need to be able to do various things, because it's not just one, it's and, you know, either or, it's all those things. So I really need to be able to connect with him wherever I am. You know, you're in a hotel room. Hey, is he going to be with you? Yeah, sure he is. And so, you know, now for that also, therefore comes a responsibility then. It's like, oh, he's with me everywhere. Oh, right, okay, well, I need to be pretty careful then what I'm doing, you know. And actually the cloud of witnesses are also surrounding me everywhere, so it's like I'm never on my own, you know. And that sometimes is a sobering thought, which, you know, keeps us on the straight and narrow, really, because it's like, actually, no, I have, my relationship with Jesus is not part-time. You know, it's my life. He's with me all the time. Therefore, I need to be conscious of that. And, you know, I think we talked about this, Peter, on the other day, about practicing the presence of God, you know, being conscious of Him. But now I've developed that in that I can be totally consciously focused on something here, but my spirit can still be imparting while I'm focusing on something else, you know, and bring life into what I'm doing. And because God wants to be involved in everything we do, you know, it's not like, oh, well, great, now I'm in a church meeting, I can now engage with God. No, I would expect to engage with Him while I'm doing everything else. So if I'm working, if I have a job, then that job, I want to do the best of my ability that will glorify and honor Him, and therefore I expect Him to be involved in helping me. I might expect my spirit to direct me in what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, whatever it is. You know, I don't want to just go with the flow and hope something happens. I want my spirit to be directing, even if it's just basically life. You know, as I learned how to do it, I was more asking, seeking for that so that it would become reality for me. So it may not be as much as, well, I've got blockages in my gateways. It may be I've just not built my spirit muscles in hearing up enough. You know, because you're not going to hear in your soul, you're going to hear in your spirit. And then your spirit is going to engage either your reason or your imagination or your conscience or your emotions in any of them. Now, if there are blockages in those areas, then of course it may hinder you being able to get the soul to connect with the spirit, to connect with the soul, so that your soul is in an understanding of what the spirit is revealing. But no matter how cleansed your soul is, if your spirit isn't strong enough or mature enough or developed enough, then you're still not going to hear. You know, you may have your reason center completely open to new thoughts from God, but if you haven't developed how to hear the thoughts from your spirit, then your soul will be open but not able to receive. Because you have a receiver but not a transmitter. So the spirit transmits, the soul receives. So you need to make sure your soul is tuned into the right transmitter frequency, but if there's nothing broadcast, then it doesn't work. So you need both of them operating together. And so it's a process of development in each. And that's really why then it becomes sort of a lifestyle. You know, I think, yes, it's helpful to work on one and work on the other, but really you want them integrated and flowing together. You know, so it's bringing it all together in oneness, you know, becoming one spirit with Him and me becoming one whole, body, soul, and spirit, completely in tune with one another, so that my body is functioning in that as well, picking up the frequency and the vibrations that are in the atmosphere. And, you know, amplifying those frequencies and then interpret them in the mind. You know, my body's also involved in it. It's, you know, I do have a literal mind, which is a brain, which is a physical thing. I do have a nervous system, which is connected to, you know, all my organs, and they are all connected to my auditory nerve, which senses pressure and frequency vibrational fluctuations. I've just learned, and now I don't have to think about any of that stuff. You know, when I was practicing, I used to think about it, you know, and I used to sort of deliberately choose to activate it. Now it's just life, you know. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, some of my experiences and the fact that, you know, I've gone through this process can help others to do it quicker, but because you don't have to go through a lot of the groundwork, just as, you know, I didn't have to develop the gateway understanding. Given that by revelation with a scroll is the best way God would help people to understand how to connect. You know, so all I did was make it mine. And so it became my connection. So I didn't make any assumptions that just because, hey, there's this gate and this gate and this gate, that I knew what they were. I went and stood in each gate with God, with Jesus, and said, explain to me how this works. You know, how does this function? What's the way in which this operates for me? You know, and I want, because I'm only responsible for me, you know, not anybody else. And so in that way, once I find out it works for me and I get the principle, then that principle then can begin to be applied by someone else who finds out how it works for them. And that's why it's not copying what someone else has done, but developing your own personal experience with that. You know, I don't know what Jesus is going to say to you when you stand in your reverence gate with him and ask him. I just know what he said to me, which I can share what he said to me, but that's just an encouragement so you can actually go and hear what he wants to say to you. You know, and develop in that process of hearing and engagement. You know, but, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Okay. So, have you got anything, Andrew, you want to share or ask? While you're here.
Hey, Mike. Well, I did have an experience about a month ago. And it seems like I've really been distracted, like, you know, just life, you know, with kids and family and stuff. So I haven't really pressed into that, or I don't know if that's the word, but went back there. I'm just thinking I could go back there to that experience, and it was almost like a mountain experience where I saw like this dark, it was extremely dark, and it was a cloud around me. But I don't know, I didn't see God, I just felt him. And then it was in a worship experience, so I kind of came out of it, but I don't know, I'm like, okay, that's, and it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. It wasn't like I was afraid, though. I was just, I just didn't see anything. So, you know, when you go back to that, like I could picture that again in my mind, but I don't know exactly how to go back to that place where I'm capturing the thing, the same thing that I felt and experienced. Does that make sense?
Mike, we don't hear you.
Yeah.
It's part of the same process about learning to re-engage and go back into the experience so you draw more out of it. So there are different ways you can do that. You can begin to picture the experience as you say, but another way of doing it is to engage with God and ask him what the experience meant. So develop the relationship of God. That was great, but what were you doing? You know, what were you teaching me? You know, what was I supposed to learn? You know, am I supposed to just go back to this again? Ask him. You know, and if it was a mountaintop experience and you feel that it was something that should be wasn't just a one-off encounter, but something that's something your spirit is drawing you towards, then I would just re-engage it in my spirit and look to engage back into it. But the more you do it, the easier that becomes. You know, it's like use your previous experience and testimony as the doorway to go back into it. Another way of doing it is to plant that as a seed of testimony within the garden of your own heart and see it grow to produce fruit, and then go and take the fruit. And that fruit can bring revelation that you never got before as you eat the fruit of it. You know, so I found lots of different ways of re-engaging, and I do it differently at different times, just depending on what my spirit sort of fancies for the day, if you like. You know, sometimes you like one sort of food one day and you like the different sort of food the next day. And so it becomes, you know, a menu of different options that we can engage in different ways at different times, and they're all valid. And you know, God likes a varied diet. I like a varied diet. I don't want to eat the same food every day. So I can do things differently as I learn, you know. So I do, you know, sometimes I will sit down and talk about it. Sometimes I will re-engage in the experience and look to go back there and look more and more intently and whatever. If it was in a worship time, sometimes those experiences are harder to recreate, if you like, because they came in a particular atmosphere and they became because of a particular set of circumstances and what the Holy Spirit was doing and whatever angels may have been there. So sometimes those situations are better to go and talk to God about and ask him to lead you into the revelation of it and then re-engage rather than trying to recreate it, but to go into what God was trying to teach you or what the experience meant rather than just the experience itself. And again, I do that by journaling it. So, you know, when I get experiences in a Sunday, particularly, you know, in a worship time, you know, I tend to journal it and then I go and look back over it. And it's like, okay, yeah, I remember, yeah, what was that? Yeah, how does that now need to progress if it does? You know? But it does take faith focus. I mean, you know, and distractions of life are things we have to sort of change our mindset towards, I think. If we see life as a distraction to the things of the Spirit rather than the way the Spirit wants to outwork in us, then we can almost sort of set up a, well, this is important, that's not important, and that becomes a sort of a dichotomy of, well, heavenly things are great, earthly things are just a chore. Where actually in reality God wants us to be an expression of heaven through the earthly things that we do, so that actually the things of life are the things in which we outwork the kingdom principles that we've come from in our relationship with him, rather than a distraction. Now, life becomes a distraction when we don't have any time with God, and that becomes a problem if we don't find the time to give God quality time, because there's so many other things we should do, then we'll find that other things will suffer. So it's always best to prioritize God before everything else. And the only way you can legitimately do that is do it in the time when you're not doing the other things. You know, and for me, that means I get up earlier and spend time with God. Some people do it late at night, but I find that most people who say they do it late at night struggle with that because they're tired at the end of the day. But some people do it that late at night. For me, it makes sense to do it first thing in the morning, because that seemed to be a pattern that Jesus had. He went off and found somewhere solitary that he could engage with God. Sometimes he went up into the mountain and prayed. You know, sometimes he did do all night stuff, you know, particularly when he had a big decision to make. So it's really making sure that life is not seen as a distraction from God, but a way of outworking the kingdom in through us into everything that we do, whether it's family or work or every other situation. Make sure that we're working out the things. So if there are situations going in our family, then put into place the principles of favor and blessing and declaration and court cases to bring those situations into alignment with God's will and purpose, you know, outwork them and practice in everything that's going on, you know, and practice hearing God or getting a mandate for what you're doing on a daily basis. Even if it seems rather mundane, you know, ask for God's mandate for this and this and this and this, you know, so that he can show you that he wants to be involved in everything. But as long as we've got some quality time with him, then everything can flow out of that. It is very difficult when we don't get any quality time, and that will be true in any relationship. Lack of quality time will hinder that relationship. You know, and that comes about when in any relationship, you know, when you're looking to develop, you know, for instance, being a bench of three and things like that, without quality time spent together, talking, sharing heart, being real, being open, then you have a superficialness about relationships which won't actually stand the test of when storms blow or difficult things come. You know, you need to know that you can trust each other and stand with each other, and that comes through working things through in relationship and spending the time. You know, they say it's worth, it's cheaper to prevent than it is to cure. So if you can prevent things, then it's much easier than it is trying to put things right later. So spending time in developing a relationship is much better than trying to deal with things that have gone wrong because of the relationship strength wasn't there. You know, and so it's better to multiply your efforts in developing the relationship than trying to put something right later. So, yeah.
That's a good, that's really good.
Okay.
Well, Mike, it's interesting. We're talking all about hearing and learning how to hear, and I know you have put in the Alpha and Beta group the whole thing of Mark Berkler's stuff on hearing the voice of God.
Yeah.
Starting today, he is offering for free his whole course for the next 10 days online. That you can watch for a 24-hour period each one of his 10 sessions, and then he takes it down, so it's free for everybody to be able to get it. I just sent out the email to everybody in our group so they could take advantage of it. It's awesome.
Post it on the Alpha group as well.
Great.
And you know, I'll forward it onto the Beta group, because I found Mark Berkler's stuff very, very approachable and very easy. And he's got two versions of it as well. He has the more sort of, I don't know, to say male approach, but his wife has also done stuff which comes from a more intuition type approach, where he's quite systematic, and so he's done various ways to relate to various people. So I've always found him a really good guy, and I feel that in 2012, when he issued that Reformation call to the church to engage supernatural things, I think that was a very significant time. And so, you know, God has used that guy to open up this realm. You know, and it, you know, so I highly recommend him and the material that he puts out. You know, and I've used some of it in my own life, and I developed that and adapted some of it, and you know, use it to help people. But you know, it's a good thing to have a foundation of that.
I just sent you the email.
Okay, great, excellent. Okay. Yeah. I think there is a danger in Ian Clayton tends to really focus on the seeing. If you can't see, then you can't, you know. And I think that can put such a pressure on people who are trying to see like he does. Well, none of us know what he sees, because he doesn't describe it in great detail. We don't know, do we? We don't know what he's seeing, but he is saying that he sees it. Well, we need to make sure that we're not pressured into trying to see like him. We need to see like us. You know, you need to see like you do. You need to hear like you do. Same for me. We need to find it in our own relationship with God. And, you know, actually the perception is more important than the picture, if you like, when it comes down to it. So I think, you know, it's a key to discern the thoughts of God in our mind, because if you're looking at something and you're seeing, let's say you're seeing God and you're talking to him, well, how are you going to hear him? You have to still get the thoughts of God in your mind, because the language of heaven is thought. So you still have to develop hearing, even if you can see him. It's no good seeing his lips move, is it, if you don't get the thoughts of what that are in your mind? Because it's not literally pressure waves in heaven in sound, it's thought. And you may see him talking to you, but you still have to hear in your mind what he's saying. You know? And so that needs developing, without a doubt. You know, which I don't think probably in any of the material Ian put out, he doesn't go into developing that. Which was why I think, you know, using Mark Berkler and others, and even just the basic exercises that I do within the beta manual and the stuff, you know, is a really thing not to rush over. You know, it's really, really important to get that as a lifestyle. You know, because if I quickly need to ask God something, I don't want a full-blown vision that I then need to try and interpret him communicating to me in symbolic form. I want to hear what he says. You know, I don't want symbolism when I want an answer. You know, I want the answer. You know, so if I haven't developed hearing, then I'm going to have to interpret something, which is then down to my interpretation rather than what he says. You know, so it is a really important part of the process. You know. Oh, yeah. All right, so it's good. Excellent.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times I'll sense.
Yeah.
I feel. I always think I'm a feeler. I can feel something. Yeah. Wait. But in the moment when I feel like I'm asking God for maybe a word of knowledge or to help someone, like a coaching client, I feel like I don't hear anything. or feel anything. So I'm not sure if that's just another kind of development when you're in a situation, you're not by yourself, if it's easier to hear once you develop that. Or
yeah. I think what you have to do is learn to tune in into various situations. And if your spirit is active, then your spirit can communicate to you, and you'll probably sense it. You know, you'll just know, and you just do. You know, it's like sometimes, again, we can complicate it by trying to get something different from what we already have in operation. So, you know, when I ministered to people, you know, it's like I'd start ministering and get in a flow, and it would just flow. I wouldn't try and work it out or figure it out. I would just start to flow and let that flow out of my spirit. And so when I'm asking in that sort of setting, it's like there's a knowing. You just know. And therefore you go with that knowing. And you go with the impression that you get. Can it become more clear? Yeah. But I wouldn't suggest trying to learn how to do it in a pressured environment where you need to get the answers instantly, you know, because you're ministering to somebody. You know, it's much easier to learn how to get those thoughts and sense how God does communicate with you in your own quiet intimacy with God, because that's when there's no pressure. And you can rest for 10 minutes, and if you don't hear anything, it doesn't make any difference. You're just in that place of rest and peace. You know, when you're sat there and you've got a client and you're looking to minister to them, and it's like, okay, I just need to get this from God and I'm not getting anything. You know, you can have a long, pregnant pause, which can be quite awkward. You know, but in those situations, again, I would not be afraid of saying, look, can you just give me a few minutes here? I just want to reflect. I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm going to tune and be honest. You know, just be real. It's like, actually, I need to get some discernment here, so I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to just quieten myself so that I can get that discernment. And just do that. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. The easier you find it, the less you need to do that. But quite often I'll be doing that in the inside when people are talking to me. You know, people will be talking to me, telling me stuff. My spirit is saying, God, help. You know, or God, what is this? Give me insight. Give me revelation. Bring something out of, you know, and while I'm listening, I'm active. Yeah, and I'm getting impressions and getting those thoughts, and I usually have a notepad that I jot things down on that then I can look to and to trigger into the insight that I've been receiving. Because you have to learn how to listen, both with your natural ears, but also with your spiritual ears at the same time. And, you know, jot things down, you know, and, you know, flow out of it. But the more you practice on your own, the easier it is when you get into those situations. That's what I found. But I would always consciously engage my spirit in anything like that. You know, I get a glazed look when I'm sort of, you know, tuned into something. You know, and people, you know, have said to me, "Are you listening?" And I'm absolutely listening. I can tell you exactly what they've said, but I'm also engaged in trying to discern what they're actually saying rather than what they said. Because, as you know, if you minister to people and you're, you know, they may say one thing, but they may mean something completely different. And you have to be able to interpret what someone is saying in a way that gets underneath what they really mean. And again, you learn to discern those things, but as you engage your spirit in it, it can become more of a flow of life in it. So, yeah.
And that's good.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, okay. All right, okay, well, we'll